singing to the center of the atom. It's the hum of the whole universe. Now when we go from alpha down to omega at the 6 o'clock line, then we start singing, I and my mother are one, right?
I and my mother are one.
Teeth of what you know to be your own recalcitrance. It's like laughing at the devil. You laugh him to scorn, and the energy collapses by its own weight of its own unreality. You'd be surprised how much energy will go into the flame when you get into the swing of these mantras. So let us just sing this once more so that we can get really high in our attunement to go on with our lecture. We'll take our Father. Look then at the pink flame that is released as we preserve the perfection of our spiral. The pink will be on the 1, 4, 7, and 10. Just as we had 12, 3, 6, 9, now we have 1, 4, 7, 10. Now that would make a pink pinwheel on your clock if you drew it in as flames. Or as arcs. I don't want to mess up this chart with too many drawings. Now we're given the God power from Capricorn. Aquarius demands that we manifest that power as God love. The first opportunity we have to pervert God power after criticism is by human hatred or mild dislike. It's a very easy thing to fall into because the world is so full of patterns of hatred and mild dislike. You just walk around and it's just like carrying a butterfly net. Your consciousness becomes a sieve catching all of this human consciousness, and we don't even realize it. We see people and we just have this mild dislike for them because there's a certain friction of their human consciousness with our human consciousness. And unless we're consciously radiating love from the heart to all people at all times, there is the opportunity for the heart to turn within, to become concave instead of convex, and then starts a spiral of mild dislike. It probably starts with irritation at something somebody does. And we think, well, I don't like that person as well as I like that person. And there we go, we start having these little dislikes everywhere. And that's the siphoning off of our God power. Squeezing off just a little bit of the juice of it at the 1 o'clock line. You have to be very careful of that action. Now when I talk to you about the cycles of the moon, I'll show you how the moon always amplifies the astral aspect of a sign. Because the moon polarizes with water, or the water body of the planet. The moon is intended to be a giant reflector or a mirror of the perfect feelings of God. The moon is the assistance God has given us to amplify God's feelings. But because we have completely polluted the waters of the planet and our emotional bodies, the moon has become an amplifier of the astral. So wherever the moon is, we have the challenge to transmute the consciousness that is in section B of 604. Whatever it says on there is the perversion of it. So 1 o'clock is hatred, mild dislike, and black magic. You see, hatred and mild dislike are black magic. When you hate someone, you are practicing black magic against them. And when you have mild dislike, you are practicing black magic against them. Do you dislike yourself? You are practicing black magic against yourself. How do you like that? You're destroying yourself with your own disapproval of yourself. If it's not all right to criticize other people, then it's not all right to criticize yourself. It's all right to see your faults and correct them, but be objective and go on, because you can destroy yourself with that. Witchcraft on the 12 o'clock and black magic on the 1. And that is how black magicians are born, by negative thinking. Begins with negative thinking. Now we're taking the pink cycles. So the 4 o'clock line, which is under the hierarchy of Taurus, that is a love line. It's the love of God that makes us love His law so much that we want to be right in tune with that law. And so the only way to be in tune with it is to be obedient to it. We love that law more than we love our lives or ourselves. You say, what are the laws of God? You begin with the Ten Commandments, the Beatitudes, the basic laws of living in harmony with life. When we are obedient to those laws, we pass the test of the 4 o'clock line. When we are not, then we have disobedience, stubbornness, and defiance. Now I have a little boy who was born in Taurus, and he has a great determination for God good, a great love of the laws of God. But it's a funny thing that with all his love for God's will, when the moon goes into Taurus, he decides he doesn't want to practice his piano, he doesn't want to do his homework, he wants to watch television. And if I say to him, now Sean, the moon is in Taurus, he'll say, oh, that's what it is. And then he runs and does all the things he should do. It's a very interesting thing, because I know that that energy is not his own. I know he is feeling the entire planetary momentum of just plain old feeling like you like to be ornery and stubborn once in a while. And if you don't know where the moon is, you don't realize it's a test. So you think, well, it's all right to indulge in this feeling once in a while, so I'll just be ornery today. But if you know where the moon is and where the sun is, incidentally, the sun goes into Taurus at 10:30 tonight. We go from Aries into Taurus. Now, this means the whole planetary momentum of that stubbornness and defiance is up for transmutation. There's an open door. In our decrees, we can call for it to be transmuted. Now, if you didn't know this, you might identify with it. You might identify with that momentum and then go down with the negatives that are there instead of rising with God obedience. So this is where the knowledge of the Divine Mother can be your salvation. Now you come to the 7 o'clock line of love, which is expressed as gratitude. This gratitude becomes ingratitude, thoughtlessness, spiritual blindness, and hardness of heart manifests on that axis of the 1-7. Now, I have noticed that when you go into areas that are not populated, where we have our property, our new property, it is completely unpopulated. The difference in vibration between there and here is so astounding, mainly because we're surrounded by hatred in this neighborhood and hardness of heart. But it's amazing how your heart is freed from a pressure that you don't even know is on it when you go high up into the mountains or away from people. Then you begin to realize that your self-mastery, or lack of it, may not be your own. It may be your acceptance of the world's consciousness of hardness of heart. And because you don't identify it, you don't realize it as a vibration or as a consciousness apart from God, you allow yourself to become a part of it. It's the kind of consciousness where it's in vogue not to smile, you know. You see these ads in the paper and everybody's looking tough and stern, you know. And this is the new look, you see. We're not supposed to smile because it's this hardness of heart. You see these cigarette ads and all these things, and it's just comical. This planet where nobody's supposed to smile at anybody else, and it's a sign of power and great attainment when you don't. And that's that 1-7 axis. It's really comical when you think about it. That's the intellectual consciousness that has no heart. Now on the 10 o'clock line, of course, the test of Scorpio. The moon is in Scorpio now, and it goes into Sagittarius at 11:04. So in other words, between 10:30 tonight and 11:04 tonight, we have an axis where the sun is in Taurus and the moon is in Scorpio. Now this is a really cosmic moment and an opportunity in this conference to challenge the entire planetary momentums of selfishness, self-love, and disobedience, stubbornness, and defiance of the law. Now, the failure of that test caused the sinking of Atlantis. And the Earth is back in the saddle now of the test of the 10. So whenever the sun or the moon is either in 10 or 4, you have always the supreme opportunity to do a great deal of transmutation for the Earth on those lines. So those are the four points of love. Now, if you truly are the love generation and you believe that love is the key and the answer to our whole planet, then ask yourself if you have eliminated the misqualifications of love on those four lines. See, you can't conquer with love if you have rebellion. You think you don't have rebellion. Rebellion can just be a mental state. A state where you rebel against the mind of God at an intellectual level from the standpoint of logic and argument. That's all Lucifer had to do when he turned our whole planet upside down, just by an intellectual rebellion. But what about all the other forms of rebellion? What about emotional rebellion? The idea of I won't and I can't are perversions of divine love. And the hardness of heart, then the selfishness. So this is where we begin to realize that human love must become divine love in order to be perfect within us. Now the cosmic Christ illumination comes forth on the 2, 5, 8, and 11. Remember, we're still talking about this spiral going around the clock through the 12 houses. And we're talking about these qualities and how we master them. When we have gotten from Capricorn the power, Capricorn passes the torch to Aquarius, it's God love. All right, let's say we pass those tests perfectly. We have a perfect use of power, a perfect use of love. Now we're ready for a perfect manifestation of God mastery. Now what is going to challenge our God mastery? Doubt, all kinds of ideas of doubt. You can't be the master. You can't master your world. It's impossible. Fear, all kinds of fears. You think you don't have fear, and suddenly you're absolutely beset with all kinds of fear from your electronic belt. Human questioning of the Master's teachings, human questioning of the law. Tremendous amount is lost by people sitting and being curious and questioning and taking. You know how you take apart a rose and there's nothing left? That's human questioning. That's the best example of human questioning that I can think of. Petal by petal, you decided to see how it's going to be put together. And so you found out how it was put together, but you don't have it anymore. You've destroyed it by your analysis. So, then you have all records of death. Now the records of the death are a great challenge to God mastery. Remember, that's Pisces. Jesus is the victor on that line. You'll see that in number A of the 604 decree. You see Jesus on that line. He is the master that works with the hierarchies of Pisces to focus the consciousness of the victory over death. So our God mastery can never be fulfilled until we overcome the last enemy. And that is made very clear by Paul. He says the last enemy which will be overcome is death. Now, Mark has proven to us that death is not real. He has proven to us that life is immortal. Because he has held the flame of God mastery, because Jesus has held the flame of God mastery, a victory over death, we're here. So we want to do the same for the rest of the world. Now, I was talking about cremation this morning. Every time we have laid down a physical body in all thousands of bodiments past, if that body has not been cremated, it is somewhere buried in the earth, and we're responsible for its energies in a state of decay. So this is how the forces have set up opposition to our ascension, by focusing aspects of our consciousness in the death cycle, or the decay cycle. There comes a time when you are on the path, an initiate on the path, when you suddenly become aware of these focuses and records of yourself that you have left around the planet, and of past embodiments. And all of a sudden you decide you won't stand for it. And you decide you're going to call for them to be consumed and put to the flame, and you give that violet flame until you feel the release and you know that that energy is transmuted and secure in your causal body. And so that state of contentment with your former self you had yesterday, you suddenly get up one day and you're in a cycle of victory in Pisces, and you determine to master the water element. And it is a glorious, God-victorious day when this suddenly dawns on you. Pisces, then the other yellow line would be 5 o'clock, the hierarchs of Gemini, and they give us God wisdom. On the 8 o'clock line, it's God justice. This is an illumination. Think of the awareness of this statement that was given by Portia, the goddess of justice, on the karmic board. She says, "There is no injustice anywhere in the universe." Isn't that the most liberating concept you ever heard? Yeah. It makes you breathe a sigh of relief. It makes you realize that all of us are walking around with a sense of having been wronged, or a sense of wrongs going on in the world. But so many times we see effects of previous causes that are set up by people themselves, that bring upon themselves what looks like an injustice, when actually it is a balancing of the law. Karma, new karma, of course, is made. If I suddenly went ranting and raving and decided to hit everybody over the head, it would be an injustice. I would be making a terrible karma, wouldn't I? The thing of it is, where the no injustice comes, is that no matter what happens to you as a karmic cycle that's initiated by someone else, it's your opportunity, and opportunity is the other side of the coin of justice, to rise. This is why Jesus said to bless your enemies. Whoever is your enemy makes you rise. You know what would happen to you if I suddenly hit you all over the head? You'd realize, if you were disturbed by it, that you had been attached to my human personality. And you would realize that your attachment should be to the truth. Then you wouldn't be moved or disturbed by anything I did, because you're not here to see me, you're here to see the law. Isn't that true? So you would receive illumination if you saw it correctly. I would get the karma. I would receive the karma back myself. But if you learned the lesson, you wouldn't be entangled with my karma at all. But if you got emotional about it, then you'd have a tie to me. You started hitting me back. Then we'd have a karma together, wouldn't we? We'd have to settle that out sometime, somewhere. So if you always cling to justice and its illumination, you avoid the ties of the emotional quadrant. That's where the emotions come in, you see, senses of injustice. 11 o'clock line is a glorious line. It's the line of victory. It's the line where you realize that God says, "Vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord." Just at the hour of victory, 12:05, always comes the temptation to begin resentment, resenting someone or something they're doing. And if the forces of darkness can get you to resent someone hard enough, they will siphon off all the light of the entire cycle, and you will have aborted the cycle. You know, you may not have any resentment in the world. You may never have experienced resentment in this embodiment. You may be a very mild and gentle soul. But let this test come along, get on the path, and be an initiate, and suddenly, at the hour of your victory, you will be seized with a seething resentment of someone or some condition. When that happens, you know that it's the hour of your victory. And you're going to say to yourself, which means more to me? The getting even from the human level with this person or this thing, or the releasing it into the flame and just relaxing in the illumination of God victory? That test will come to every one of you. No sooner than you leave this conference in the next 2 weeks, I guarantee that you'll be tempted to have resentment, because they will try to abort the cycle of this whole class and the light that will be stored in you. And you'll watch it. And it's such a joyous day to watch these little demons prance up, thinking they've got you by the tail, projecting all these arrows of resentment at you, and you laugh in their face and you say, ha, I know this is a test of the 11 o'clock line. And I know that Maitreya, who's on that line, is giving me this test. Be gone. I don't want anything to do with you. I'll resent no one, because I know that God will repay. God will take care of anyone, anywhere, if they deserve to be taken care of. If you could possibly say that resentment is justified, then God is going to balance that scale. Isn't that a beautiful concept? Now, when you've seen the clock and you see its perversions, you can be alert to these aspects, and you will become the greatest psychologist walking around, because this is the basis of the psychology of the Golden Age, this clock.